The unemployment rate is up, way up, at least among NFL coaches. And all those coaching changes could have an effect on the Patriots, too. It's Tuesday, January 2nd. I'm Joe Sullivan in for Chris Gasper. Welcome to Season Ticket. With me is Globe NFL columnist Ben Bowen. And we've got a lot of ground to cover with all the coaching changes in the NFL, Ben. Black Monday passed. It was almost Black Sunday night, wasn't it, this week, Ben?
Yeah, not wasting any time. Chuck Pagano, I'm not sure he was allowed to shower after the game before he was fired, and Jack Del Rio in Oakland as well. And Del Rio handled it very classily, I thought. In his post-game press conference, he told the reporters, hey, I've just been let go, and he handled it with grace, I thought.
I told him how much I appreciated the opportunity he gave me. And I mean that. Very grateful. My childhood team. But it's a results business. I understand that.
So
he's just glad he doesn't have to face the Patriots again, who always kill him. So let's review here. The coaches who were fired or retired or
moving on.
Jack Del Rio, you mentioned, by the Oakland Raiders. Chuck Pagano by the Indianapolis Colts. That seemed to be like a yearly occurrence, and it finally happened. John Fox by the Chicago Bears. Jim Caldwell by the Detroit Lions. Bruce Arians retired from the Arizona Cardinals, health problems, et cetera. And he was not young, that's for sure. He got his head coaching start late. And the Giants fired Ben McAdoo earlier in the season. So are there more firings to come, Ben?
Yeah, just because it didn't happen on Black Monday doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Sometimes ownership wants to, you know, see the lay of the land and see what's out there before making a move. Or a lot of times they will talk to people behind the scenes and then determine if they're going to make a move or not. So like the Cincinnati Bengals are a team that's still very much up in the air. We're not quite sure if Marvin Lewis is going to come back as head coach, if they're going to maybe move him to the front office. He still has to meet with owner Mike Brown. A couple of situations have resolved in the last day, like Houston, Bill O'Brien. There was a chance he was going to be out, but I think he won the power struggle with the GM, Rick Smith, who's going to be out for at least a year now. Washington, Jay Gruden, it sounds like he's going to be surviving. Dirk Cutter in Tampa Bay sounds like he's going to be surviving. But again, these coaches can, or these owners can change their mind in a week or two and decide that they want to move on from someone else. So just because they survived Black Monday does not mean that they're going to be the head coach in 2018.
Are all these deserved in your mind?
Yeah, for the most part. I know the one that has some people upset is Jim Caldwell. He made the playoffs last year and he went 9-7 this year. How can a coach go 9-7 and lose his job? Well, I think the Lions wanted to move on from him last year. They had a new GM in Bob Quinn. And usually when you bring in a new GM, he doesn't keep the incumbent coach. But when he made the playoffs, he felt he had no choice. And so now this year, they fell short of expectations. That gave him the ability to fire the coach and move on. He said they want to, you know, Caldwell's been good for them, but they want to find someone who they think can win a Super Bowl. And obviously they don't think Caldwell can take that next step. And Matthew Stafford is, what, 28, 29 years old now? Like, he's entering his prime. Enough of these 6-10, you know, 8-8 seasons. It's time for Matthew Stafford to start winning playoff games. You know, the other one to watch, too, I didn't mention Tennessee. Even though they made the playoffs, Mike Mularkey is not off the hot seat as well. If they go 1-done, if they lose to the Chiefs and it's kind of an ugly performance, he's definitely someone who could still be on the outs. And you know, Marcus Mariota in his third year is not taking that jump that many people expected. And the Titans entered the season with a lot of hype. And even though they made the playoffs, if they go 1-done, I think Tennessee job could become open as well.
So there are reports out there that John Gruden will go back to the Oakland Raiders to replace Jack Del Rio. Are you putting much stock in those reports?
The groomers, if you will.
Oh, that's very good.
The groomers are very real about John Gruden. I spoke with someone close to him a couple weeks ago, and he said that Gruden was not very happy in Monday Night Football, that it's been almost a decade now, believe it or not, and I'm not sure it's working out so swimmingly right now between him and Sean McDonough. So
This is great gossip.
I was told that John Gruden, well, it was in my Sunday notes, actually, if you read it a couple weeks ago. But
I read it, Ben. I did say I memorized it.
So Gruden's not happy with Monday Night Football. He's only 54 years old. So I thought Tampa Bay was going to be the landing spot, but you know, Oakland's the other obvious one. And the rumor is that they'll pair him up with Rich Gannon, which would be interesting. Pull the old former quarterback out of the TV booth, let him kind of run the front office, and John Gruden, the coaching staff, and those guys kind of work hand in hand together. So that would be, you know, talk about getting the band back together. That's the last time the Raiders have been consistently good was with those two guys.
Do you know much about Rich Gannon as a GM type? Or
no idea if he can put a team together. Nice guy. I've dealt with him a lot over the years, especially more when I covered the Dolphins. He would cover, he would broadcast a lot of the Dolphins games, and I would chat him up. And super nice guy, always got back to me, always had really good insight, and you know, always had very measured analysis, and you could tell he did his homework. Now, can he manage the salary cap and run the team? Who knows? I mean, most of these teams do have a salary cap guy.
Sure, you hire someone.
Yeah, so, and Rich Gannon would just be more the face.
This could be your future, Ben, at some time.
Though. What, the salary cap
nerd? Yeah.
The pencil pusher?
Yeah.
Maybe. I'm not as much of a numbers nerd. There are better math people out there, but I wouldn't be the football guy. I guess we can put it that way.
Yeah. So the Patriots could be affected by all these changes?
I'm saying should be. I think this is the year that McDaniels takes the leap. Matt Patricia is getting several good, long, hard looks. The job to look out for Patricia, I think, is the Detroit job with Bob Quinn.
See, that makes no sense to me.
Why is
that? I'm going to jump right in. So Bob Quinn is the former Patriots scout who runs the Lions. He has a...
Well, that's a scout, yes, but he was a high-level executive, too. I mean, that's...
So he has
it's like saying I'm a copy boy, you know, like that's what I started out as.
So he has a highly skilled quarterback on his team.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't McDaniels be the first choice? The Josh McDaniels would be a better choice than Matt Patricia.
You know, I agree with you, but that's the rumor right now, is that Matt Patricia is more of the candidate in Detroit than Josh McDaniels. I would agree with you. Now, Patricia can always bring in a quarterback coach, and actually the name to watch is Brian Daboll. The former Patriots coach, who's now the offensive coordinator at Alabama. Nick Saban chewed him out pretty good on the sideline last night.
Oh, doesn't he do that to everyone?
He does, so I don't know if Dable wants
to... What a pleasant fella to deal with.
Yeah, very, very nice. Ask the people in South Florida how nice Nick Saban is to deal with.
Ben,
chewing
see,
out the secretaries down there.
You have nothing to complain about with me as your boss. If you could have Nick Saban as your boss.
I've never seen you chew out a secretary, so, and you've never barked at me on the sideline. Yes. So I appreciate that, Joe. But Daboll, yeah, you know, if Patricia goes to Detroit, I could see Brian Daboll going there to be the offensive coordinator. And frankly, if the Patriots lose McDaniels, I wonder if Daboll is brought back into the fold here in New England. The only other option would be Chad O'Shea, I think, the wide receivers coach. I'm not sure, you know, we'll see if he's ready to be elevated to that new role. But, you know, a lot of moving parts. I think Bill O'Brien, the fact that he has more control now in Houston and kind of won that power struggle, you got to be wary of. Maybe some former Patriots guys going down to Houston as well. And Mike Vrabel is another guy, another former Patriot whose name is popping up. So
Mike Vrabel's now an assistant with O'Brien in Houston.
He's the defensive coordinator, and he's on the list for the Lions. So there are a lot of former Patriots all over the place. And I think Patricia and McDaniels are going to be two very in-demand candidates.
Well, let's talk about Matt Patricia as a candidate. Who would hire this guy? My thoughts on this are that just his demeanor, his appearance, does not give forth the idea that he's someone who should be a head coach. And then we have the incident after the Super Bowl last year when he got off the plane wearing a T-shirt with a drawing of Roger Goodell with a clown nose. Who hires a head coach that does things like that?
Well, it was not a good look, and he'll have some explaining to do in these interviews, no question. You know, I'd be concerned just with Patricia's communication skills. I hope he's a better interviewer and speaks more directly than he does in these press conferences. Because, like, you ask him a question and he spends 8 minutes. You know, it's the Belichick filibuster. Well, he'll spend 8 minutes talking about God knows what, and he doesn't answer the question directly at all. And it's just impossible to get just a simple, normal answer out of him. And I hope that's just him filibustering the media. And not the way he communicates and talks directly, because that would be my concern. Is he's going to be a guy who, you know, speaks to your organization, speaks to your players every day, speaks to the media every day, and he's not, you know, that great of a public speaker right now. And those are important things to consider when you're hiring a head coach.
We know he's smart. He has these advanced degrees in engineering. But my experience is the same as yours in dealing with him at Super Bowls. I shared a single table with him. We sat down during one of the interview sessions. Well, he was sitting down. I sat down next to him. And I tried to get him to answer a question. Here's the question. There was before one of the Giants Super Bowls. I asked him, how many times, this is the second Giants Super Bowl that they lost, how many times have you watched this first Super Bowl tape? And he wouldn't give me the answer.
Yeah, that's, I'm why sure that was on
why wouldn't he give me a ballpark figure?
That was on their hit list. Well, we're not talking about 2007. That's in the past. You know, that's direct from the top right there. So he's just following orders. And frankly, that like that's the biggest thing. You know, his appearance and the clown shirt. You know, he's going to be a candidate for the Giants job. I don't know if the Giants are going to be willing to hire a guy who, you know, walked off the plane wearing a Goodell clown shirt. But the thing with Patricia that he really has to fight is, you know, is his defense. He kind of fights the perception that Bill Belichick really runs the defense and, you know, he's kind of the number two guy who puts it all into action. But it's really Belichick's defense. And, well, you know, it didn't work out for Charlie Weiss in the past and Romeo Crennel and some of those other assistants. So, you know, McDaniels doesn't fight that as much because he's kind of the offensive genius. But Matt Patricia does. So that's what he's going to have to, you know, argue or explain to teams is how he's really the one in charge of the defense, if he is, and why he would be, you know, a good scheming X's and O's kind of coach.
Well, I just think Patricia would be a complete disaster. And certainly the Giants in New York with all that media there, good God, he wouldn't be able to do it at all, I'm telling you.
You know, the Arizona job or the Detroit job might be a better fit for him, much, much lower key and less high profile than New York. So I think I'm with you on that one, Joe.
All right, we'll be back with more Ben Volen talking about the NFL playoffs and about James Harrison and his first game with the Patriots. Stay with us. Welcome back, and we'd like to ask a favor. If you like Season Ticket, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribing is the best way to make sure you get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Back now with the Globe's NFL writer, Ben Volen. So, Ben, you did your usual thorough film study of the Patriots' victory over the Jets in their final regular season game. And when I saw it come into the computer system, I was surprised how much you wrote about James Harrison. Tell us about James Harrison's first game.
To me, I can't get enough of James Harrison. It's the story that keeps on giving. And
wait 1 second. So for listeners who may not know, James Harrison is a longtime Pittsburgh Steeler who was released suddenly by his team with 1 week left in the season. And the Patriots signed him, and he turned around and played in his first week he's with the Patriots.
Yeah, just bizarre. It's, you know, the Steelers releasing James Harrison is so shocking to me because he's a franchise legend. You know, two Super Bowls, one Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to have his name in the Ring of Honor one day, and they brought him back this year. You know, it's definitely a swan song type of thing. He's 39 years old. This is like the Patriots bringing back Gronkowski towards the end of his career and then just releasing him in week 14 when it's not working out. Like, it's, you never see heroes of a franchise treated this way. So Harrison was upset, and not only did the Steelers release him, but then he decides to join their rival Patriots, and it's just an unbelievable storyline here entering the playoffs. So he plays right away for the Patriots.
Normally, the player like that would have been inactive, not even on the normal roster, right?
For the Patriots,
yeah,
you're saying?
Well, for any team.
Well, I mean,
bringing a player 1 week.
But, you know, the Patriots, I wrote this last week, and Boston fans got all up in a tizzy for some reason, but they've been mercenaries this year, and Kenny Britt played right away, and Martellus Bennett played right away. These
That's
guys
true.
That they're pulling in off the street.
True.
And James Harrison's been the same thing. So, you know, we all assumed he was just going to be this, like, situational pass rusher. I say we all, not me, actually. If you listen to the podcast last week, I told you exactly what was going to happen.
All right, Ben,
but,
stop patting yourself on the back.
I'm straining my shoulder here, patting myself on the back. But so he played 27 snaps, and he actually came off the field on third down. He wasn't this situational pass rusher. He was a first and a second down player, and he was used they dropped him in coverage and zone, and they used him against the run, and he was pretty good. He held his own at the end of the line, and he took on two defenders, and he held the edge, and he let a Landon Roberts come in and clean up the play, and that's why they got him this year, because Dante Hightower is hurt, and Kyle Van Noy is hurt, and Eric Lee just has not been getting it done in the run game. So James Harrison, you're 260 pounds, and you're the strongest guy on the planet. Just go out there and grapple with the offensive tackle. And he did a nice job, and then he finished the day with two sacks and a forced fumble and got a couple hurries too. This guy's got something left in the tank. He you know, the Patriots put him in some good positions. They're not going to ask, not going to put him in man-to-man coverage, but they're going to use him out there in run coverage and in zone. And he really makes them, gives them a formidable linebacker core again. They've got Harrison at the weak side and Roberts in the middle, and Van Noy is back from injury now. That's three pretty good linebackers, and you add Marquise Flowers in there as well. James Harrison's going to be a really nice pickup for them for the playoffs, and he's more than just a warm body. He can play for them.
So this proves once again that Bill Belichick knows a whole lot more than we do about football.
Bill Belichick knows what he's doing. I think that much is clear. And you know, they
why would we ever question him?
They have a motivated James Harrison. He wants to prove that he has something left in the tank.
Yeah.
I mean, they got him for the veteran minimum. Just everything about this move screamed no-brainer. And, you know, I was talking with Gasper about this last week. If Harrison acts up and they don't like him, they can just release him. No harm, no foul.
The money doesn't matter, right?
Well, it's minimum salary, so you got to pay that money to a player anyway. And so you're basically getting a free football player and someone who's, yeah, he's 39, but he knows the game inside and out. And you could tell him, hey, we want you to, you know, cover the flat and do this. And he knows exactly what to do. And, you know, so to me is a no-brainer signing. And it's so much better than getting some guy off a practice squad who you don't know if he knows the game.
It's an incredible story so far. Let's see how this continues to unfold. So the Patriots get the rest this weekend, well-deserved, and will be beneficial, I think. Always better to have the bye, have the home games. There's no argument there, Ben, so don't disagree with me. But let's look at these first-round matchups this weekend. Maybe just a quick thought on each game from you that I think people would like to hear. We'll start with the Saturday games, Tennessee Titans and at the Kansas City Chiefs. Your thoughts on that one?
Well, first of all, before we break down the games, I want to say that so there were four AFC seeds that were determined heading into Week 17, and the two wild card game spots were up for grabs, and there were four teams fighting for those two spots. And, of course, everything comes out Patriots. The two teams that would have given them the most problems were the ones that got eliminated.
Listen, Ben, if I want to hear that, I'd have Shaughnessy as the guest.
You know, the Ravens, they could come here and win. They lost. They got knocked out. And the Chargers are a very scary team. They finished 9-7 after an 0-4 start.
Ben, if they're that scary, why are they not in the playoffs?
Because they started 0-4.
Let's just talk about the teams that are in the playoffs, Ben.
The Chargers would have given them a scare. And so the Chargers and the Ravens are both out. And the two teams that made it, the Titans and the Bills, I don't think anyone around here is afraid of. So everything's coming up Patriots.
I would
again.
Agree with that last part.
So you want to do Chiefs?
So the Chiefs are obviously beating the Titans from what you
I think the
said.
Chiefs will beat the Titans. It's probably going to be a cold game in Kansas City. I know the Chiefs have been up and down this year, but I'm not sold on Mariota and the Titans right now. That's a team that really has been hot and cold this year. I think Kareem Hunt, Alex Smith, the Chiefs, those guys, it might be an ugly game. It might be a lot of field goals, but I just don't see Tennessee going on the road and winning. And then the other game, the Doug Maroney Bowl, you got
Hold on a second.
Pump the brakes.
Let's stay on the Saturday. Let's switch to the NFC on Saturday. Oh. We have Atlanta at the LA Rams. And I know where you're going with this. You're like an LA Rams groupie.
I do like the Rams. I've picked Todd Gurley for MVP and Sean McVay for my coach of the year. The Rams are a phenomenal story. First team in NFL history to go from the worst scoring offense to the best scoring offense in the league in 1 year. The greatest point differential as well. Incredible coaching job by Sean McVay, and I think they get it done at home. The Falcons team, they're, I don't know about limping into the playoffs, but another team that, you know, give them credit for fighting off the Super Bowl hangover, but still have been a little hot and cold this year. And boy, the Rams, they're not just beating teams, they're demolishing them 42-7 in Seattle and putting up 40, 50 points a game. You know, it'll be a little tighter, but I like the Rams to come away victorious in that one.
All right, now we can move on to Sunday. And the Buffalo at Jacksonville game, which you called the Doug Marone Bowl. Will you explain to our listeners?
Doug Marone, I never know if it's Marone or Marone.
It's Marone.
Marone, mm-hmm. Silent E. Okay, Doug Marone is now the coach of Jacksonville, was the coach of Buffalo, kind of left controversially. I thought it was a smart move because he got a $4 million buyout out of it, and he ended up with a head coaching job again 2 or 3 years later. But, yeah, it's fascinating that the Bills in their first playoff game in 18 years get to face their old coach and Doug Marone down in Jacksonville. Also, Marcel Darius, the former number 4 overall pick, the Bills just dumped him in a trade to Jacksonville. Now they get to play each other in the playoffs. You know, should be a good game, but I just don't see how Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to get anything done against that Jaguars defense. I mean, that's a nasty defense, especially the front seven. They get after you, and Tyrod Taylor just is not proficient enough of a passer. So I think the Jaguars win a low-scoring, another kind of field goal game, a lot of defense and running the ball with Leonard Fournette, but I like the Jaguars to come out of that one.
And then the best game of the weekend, I think, is the last NFC game, the Carolina Panthers at New Orleans Saints. You agree with me there, Ben?
Yeah, great NFC South matchup. Got to love that. Yeah, the NFC South got three teams in the playoffs, and they're seeds 4, 5, and 6. You know, I don't know how the regular season matchup went, but I do like the Saints in this one. I think they've got
Saints swept them, I believe.
Well, you know, in that case, beating a team three times in a year is not easy. And Cam Newton and the Panthers have been coming on stronger lately. You know, I love Luke Kuechly and that defense. So I'm gonna flip the script there. I was about to pick New Orleans, but I think it's, you know, especially division games when it's any other matchup besides Patriots and Bills, like I think the Patriots can beat the Bills three times a year, but I don't think that the Saints are going to beat the Panthers three times. So I'm going to go with the road upset here, Cam Newton and the Panthers.
All right. So, all right, for those of you not keeping score at home, just to remind you, so the Chiefs, the Rams on Saturday will be the winners, and then the Jaguars and the Panthers.
Three home teams and then the Panthers on the road. That's what I'm going with. So you can bet against that and feel pretty confident in it.
And that would mean that the Chiefs would be coming here to play the Patriots next Saturday.
That would be the matchup. No. Again, the Patriots. The two teams you don't want to see are Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. Neither of them can come here for the divisional round. So everything's coming up Patriots.
Thank you, Dan Shaughnessy, speaking through you. all right. You can find Ben on Twitter. His handle is at Ben Volen. And, Ben, thank you so much for coming on Season Ticket this
morning. All right, Joe. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this edition of Season Ticket, a production of the Boston Globe and WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell a friend and leave us a review. I'm Joe Sullivan, in for Chris Gasper. We'll see you tomorrow.